Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger. And today I am joined by two fabulous people. First, my fabulous co-host. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Chris.
Hey, guys. It's Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
And we have the special privilege of interviewing Jasmine Gonzalez. She's joining us from Mexico. Thank you so much for joining us on your vacation. I just want to give a little brief overview for our audience that maybe doesn't know you. You are an IFBB bikini professional and two-time Olympian. You were crowned an IFBB pro in 2017, and you earned your pro card in just 8 months of competing. So we'll have to ask more about that. And also, I just think you have the most interesting background, that you were active duty military and a Marine of all branches, and that you served for 6 years, earning your pro card just a month after getting out of the military. So why don't you start with just a little bit about yourself, where you currently reside, where you might be moving to, and what you do for a living?
Yeah, so I currently reside in San Marcos, California, just about 30 minutes north of San Diego. Moved there about 2 years ago from Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is where I'm originally from. And I plan on moving to Florida around like Palm Beach, Palm City area. And I'm currently a posing coach, and I've been a posing coach for the last 2.5 years, been able to build my business, you know, just marketing myself out there as a bikini pro who, you know, created my own routine and is able to make the routine what it is today. And I've been able to just pass on my knowledge and information to other girls. And I absolutely love what I do. And I aspire to become a prep coach with Fitline Fusion coming up so that I can, you know, reach more women and help them throughout their journeys to this stage with all of the information I've been able to gather on myself in the last 4.5 years of competing. And I've done, what is it, like 26 or 27 pro shows in the time that I've been a bikini pro. So I feel like I've been able to gather enough insight on my own journey on how to prep and, you know, even pose. And I'm just excited to be able to help other women do the same.
Yeah, before we get into all of that, what brought you out to California from Pennsylvania, and then now what has you moving to Florida?
So I moved from Pennsylvania to Cali because my sister was out there. She also was in the military at one point, and when she got out, she stayed in California, and she was just trying to convince my mom and I to head on out there, so she finally did, and we went, and though California is great, I just miss the East Coast so much. You know, it's a different vibe, different kind of people. So I'm moving to Florida because, of course, I want to be somewhere that's still warm. And also, you know, I just got into a relationship which, you know, is drawing me out that way.
Yeah. Chris, do you have any questions about her relationship? I was just looking to see that your man's in the top five Olympian as well.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about the new love.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm dating Nick Walker, and we started dating just after the Arnold. What's so funny is he had, you know, hit me up in the DM just liking my stories back in, like, June. But back then, I was, like, involved with somebody, and I wasn't trying to, you know, entertain, of course, somebody in a DM, so I just kept it, you know, neutral, was like, thanks, man, appreciate it, you know, and he would just here and there, like, comment on a picture or so, and then we actually met at Senior Nationals, and it was more so taking a picture of him and another person that was on my previous team, and it was just more of like, hey, what's up, and that was like it. But after I had separated from my previous relationship that, like, ended really crazy, I'm sure a lot of you, like, have seen all the craziness on social media. I don't really talk about it too much anymore because I prefer to leave, like, anything that's negative, you know, in the past and just try to look towards positivity that came out of that. So the Arnold comes around, and I actually saw Nick at the Frotan, like, standing area, and it completely blew him off. He didn't, like, talk about it on his own, like, bro chat podcast out. I looked at him and he thought that I was like disgusted with him. It was just, you know, it was just shy. I was just like, oh shit, there he is, you know. Well, I'm just gonna not even freaking say anything. I don't know why. I'm just fucking freaking awkward like that. So I just didn't say nothing. And then, you know, I just was talking to a bunch of people about, you know, how great he looked while the show was going on, you know, kind of rooting for him the entire time. And it was like, you know, a couple days after, you know, we like, I congratulated him, like, said he looked really good, and, you know, he was, like, thankful for the support and stuff like that. And I was like, we didn't get a picture together, so we're definitely getting one at the Olympia. And he was like, yeah, for sure. And he's like, text me. And so from there, we just started talking. And, yeah, he went in on it. He was like, made me his woman right away. And the thing is, I came from a relationship before that. The guy kept me a secret for, like, 4 years.
So oh,
I'm
wow.
not used to this, like, straightforwardness and him trying to show me off to the world. And he went, he's like, did you tell anybody about us? And I was like, oh, I told, like, one friend. And he's like, I told everybody. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, then it's like that, for real. And we made it official after we got together at the Olympia. Took a couple pictures together at the meet and greet and just was like, hey, guys.
So this is very fresh then. So you haven't.
Yeah, it's still okay. fresh. No, it's still very fresh. So that's why I'm definitely moving out to Florida, because I did have a long distance relationship for those 4 years. And, you know, I didn't, it was good and all on my end till, you know, the things I had to figure out over time. But definitely just, you know, taking a chance at it and, you know, moving with it. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I've always wanted to live in Florida anyways. It was where I was going to go previously to moving to California. However, you know, made the jump to California. But then with, you know, COVID, there's so many, like, rules out in California. I'm just ready to go somewhere where things are a little bit more free and open.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any questions about her new relationship, Chris, or did you want to move on?
I just feel like I can relate to a lot of this. Jazzy, I'm from Philadelphia, so I'm a Pennsylvania Northeast girl too. And recently moved to Virginia because of a relationship as well too. So I can just relate to the moving thing, and I'm excited for you.
Thank you, hon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so can you share with the listeners how you got started and kind of what inspired you to start competing?
Yeah, so I had left Okinawa, Japan in like 2016, and back there we were like really big partiers, drinkers. I smoked cigarettes like I was a chimney and drank so much, like from Wednesday to Sunday. Okay, Wednesday was country night, Thursday, the fourth Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday we drank for Jesus. All right, that was my lifestyle. I ate anything and everything, but thank goodness they forced us to do a bunch of physical training. And I was actually top tier, you know, in the whole physical fitness aspect of being a Marine. However, I left Japan and, you know, you leave all your friends. So I get back to the States and I'm like, well, I really don't have all my friends anymore. So I don't really want to, you know, party like that. So I was like, man, I really want to do something different. And I had seen one of my really good friends, Sadie, and she actually competed. She left Japan to compete in figure, and I seen her pictures. I was like, wow, she looks amazing. I just want to get in contact with who helped her just get in shape. So I hired her coach as a lifestyle coach, and he helped me, you know, understand the basics of macros and, you know, weight training, and develop my foundation. I had gotten into a relationship and a marriage because, you know, being in the military, we all get married in the first 2 months of dating somebody. So I got married, you know, to somebody, and it didn't really work out. And in that marriage, I wasn't really able to, you know, continue doing the weight training and dieting to the extent that I wanted to, because it just didn't flow with the person that well. So I stopped doing it for a few months that I was married. That then towards the end of our, like, it went into a really deep depression. And after, you know, going through the whole deep depression, I needed an outlet. I needed something to like pull me out of that. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna jump into my first prep. And it was like December 2016 that I jumped into my first prep. And just from there, I just took off. I did my first show in March, got sixth place, didn't even place the national qualify in March 2017. But just 8 months later, I won my pro card. So what got me into the whole competing was the fact that competing and just dieting and training, these were all variables that I had like the ultimate control over in a world of chaos during my separation and marriage, where I felt like I had no control over certain things. And so I latched onto the fact that I was able to control what I ate, what I did in the gym, and how it resulted in so many great things over time. You know, it changed my physique, it changed in my mindset, you know, different things like that, that, you know, really pulled me out of those dark times and gave me the confidence that I needed to feel like I have a grasp on life. I have a grasp on this, and I can do anything that, you know, I set my mind to, both on and off the stage. So that's what pulled me into this world.
And I know from like past interviews that I've heard, you know, you came out of a really dark time, and you have this energy whenever somebody meets you, or you just have so much life to you and positivity. So do you feel like that's what kind of turned it around, or tell us a little bit more about that, about how you stay so positive?
Yeah, so the thing is, I've been at the lowest of low, which is, you know, you try to take your life, and there's nothing like that feeling when you're so close to it, or even just, you know, imagining that you were the one responsible for wanting to end it. So since I've been at that point, nothing comes close to that. So I always try to look at any situation that I'm presented with positivity, or what can I do to heal from this, or what can I do to help others heal from the situations that they're in. And it's just, you know, spreading good light, love, positivity as much as you can, because at the end of the day, we're all hurting in some type of way, and we're all trying to heal. And I feel that what heals most is love, positivity, shedding light onto others. And so that's why I choose positivity, choose happiness, because at the end of the day, it's all a choice. As easy as it sounds, you can choose to be sad about something, or you can choose to see the latter, choose to see, you know, the better in a situation, no matter how bad it can be.
Yeah. Did you have anything to ask her on that, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Jazzy, are there certain, mental exercises or mantras or any type of regular daily activities you do to help to keep your positivity?
Yes. So there's this thought process that I actually learned when I was in a outpatient therapy program. And it's literally called the thought process. It goes like the ABCs. It's like, you know, actions, your behavior, and the consequences because of your behavior. So there's an action that occurs, something occurs, whatever the situation is, you have the opportunity to respond in a certain way. So if you respond, that's the behavior that results from the situation. And I literally look at it as I have path A to take, or I have path B to take. And due to path A or path B, there's a certain consequence. This is the C. Whatever the consequence is, it could be a good or a bad thing. There's just a certain consequence. So anytime I'm presented with, like, you know, whatever situation, no matter how small or vague, I try to sit back and see what the thought process is leading into that. It's like, how do I truly want to or need to respond to this? And if I choose that response, what is the consequence, good or bad, from that response due to a certain situation? So I try to break things down that to that much of a T, just so I can check myself, and am I wasting unnecessary energy to certain things? I always want to exude and respond with the best energy I can, because I feel like the energy put out into the universe is the energy that you will receive back. And you have to be super selective with that. So that's my process. I don't have like an actual like mantra or things that I do. I always just try to sit back and be as objective as I can with, you know, the way that I react or, you know, to anything it is. So that's why I'm super positive. People see me like, wow, I'm super happy all the time. I'm like, because I have to sit here and choose that every single day. I have to sit back and see whatever I'm presented with. If it's like a tricky client, so that's like something simple, you know, somebody who's a little trickier to work with today. Do I want to respond with being annoyed and irritated, or do I want to respond with compassion and understanding that maybe this person learns a little bit differently and I need to have some patience? Because when I sit and think of it as that versus, oh man, this person is slow, or this person, it takes me 10 times to explain this and this, I can sit with that negativity and feel a little weird about it, and it can actually pour into the rest of my day by letting that one client's ability to learn affect me. Or I can be like compassionate, understanding, and be like, okay, you know, maybe the person just needs a little bit more time. And when you think a little bit more positively about something, it pours into the rest of your day.
I love that. I love that you have like specific action steps that you can utilize when you get like faced with that type of obstacle. Do you find that there's any specific part of your individual prep where in the past or I guess currently that you find the biggest struggle to maintain your positivity?
Yeah, so especially it was like last year when I was things that I have to like really reflect on, especially with like my previous relationship and certain prep that I didn't realize were affecting me. So going into the Olympia last year, Lord, I had the worst like peak week going into it. I was going through finals and I was taking like, what was it, 20 credits that I was taking, and I had 3 of my finals on that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the Olympia. And I was doing posing coaching too up until, you know, that Tuesday before the Olympia. And, you know, going through a few things in my relationship that I didn't realize were like directly affecting me then. So at that point, that was probably the one point that I ever had probably the worst mental breakdown where I felt like I couldn't do it. However, when it gets to that point where you're sitting on the Stairmaster and you're like sobbing and you're like, why am I doing this? What is this for? You just got to sit back and think about, nobody's putting a gun to your head telling you you have to do any of this. You're choosing this at the end of the day, and you better do it with the most heart, soul, and passion that you can. And that's where on that Wednesday before me having to fly out, and I took like my progress pictures, and I was like 10, 11 pounds above my stage weight at 3 days out. I literally was sitting there like, holy crap, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do at this point? Like, I could pull out, or, you know, just be like, F it, I'm done, or I can do my best, you know, to mitigate the circumstance. And I was like, at the end of the day, I'd rather be able to tell myself I did everything that I could on a positive note and didn't give up on myself, because I'm choosing to do this. Nobody's telling me I have to do this. So if I'm choosing to do this, anything that I choose to do, I want to do it to my best of my ability, even if I feel like crap. So at that moment, I just had to look myself in. I looked at myself on my phone and I was like, you know, a little bit of a depressed state. I was like, man, like, why am I depressed about this? Yes, I have so much stuff that I'm overwhelmed with, but I put all that stuff on my plate. Nobody told me I had to do any of the stuff that I was doing. I'm the one who put 20 credit hours of school on my plate. I'm the one who decided to do posing coaching up until this time of the week. And I'm the one who is dealing with whatever relationship stuff. I am choosing all of these things. I can easily choose the latter on certain things. So that's at the end of the day where I realized a lot of what we have in our life is all our choice, it's all on choices. So I, at that moment, had to choose to change my mind around and choose that, you know what, I'm going to put in everything that I need to in these next few days to try to turn this around, and whatever comes of it is what I was able to do. You know, that's the best that I was able to do. And as long as I did my best, I'm going to be happy with that.
And you,
that personal responsibility.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you landed in the top 10 last year.
Yes.
And you were saying that you were 10 pounds over your stage weight. Did you end up kind of turning that around? If so, how'd you do that? I mean, you just looked incredible up there.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had to just cycle a lot of B6 and dandelion root and take a bunch of Epsom salt baths.
Okay. So how was that? So did you have some learning lessons then for this prep for the Olympia? And if so, what were some things that you did differently this time around?
So I had to, well, before Olympia, of course, I had changed coaches, of course, because of the circumstance with my last one. And going into this Olympia, you know, it was a little bit, you know, harder because things did change. My new coach pulled a lot of things that I was doing out from my last coach. So it did throw my hormones into a whirlwind. So things were a little tricky, even just leading into the Arnold 2 weeks before the Olympia. So I already knew this, like, going into the rest of my shows after I got with Jamie. I won my first pro show ever with Jamie, which was great. However, I think we just need time, which we're getting the time now, like in an improvement season, and then be able to, you know, grow my body in the direction that I need to, and just taking the methods that she wants to implement and just going full force with a fresh physique, fresh body, and fresh mindset. But, you know, leading into, you know, Arnold and Olympia, things were just going haywire with, like, you know, my hormones, my cycle. Like, even just, I was at a situation where I was for Olympia last year for the Arnold this year, where I was like 10 pounds above my stage weight at 3 days out. But I wasn't able to dial it in as best as I was able to, just because I feel like, one, I was in prep for a while, and two, just the different way of doing things. We didn't have enough time to really learn what my body was going to do with what Jamie had implemented. So I just feel like we just need the time. Same thing going into the Olympia. I put my pictures side by side, and of course this year I definitely look a lot softer in a way, and I just think it's because of the things we pulled out from what I was doing with my last coach, which is perfectly good with me. I just now need more time, I think, to grow, because my feedback from the Olympia this year was I lacked size in my upper body and just, of course, my conditioning. But if I see last year compared to, like, what I did, of course, the differences are profound. But I just now need the time to actually grow, because my last was actually told me not to work out my upper body for a very, very long time. And then I had last year at Tampa Pro, one of the judges told me, hey, you really need to, you know, work on upper body. You're lacking some pop. And my coach then was like, oh, don't listen to that. Like, they don't know what they're saying. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like what they're saying is, like, something I should take into consideration. And then when I switched to Jamie, she even said something about needing to bring up my upper body. And then going into the Olympia, getting the, like, seeing the results and then getting the feedback, it's that something that I just need to work on overall. So, yeah, that's like differences between last year and this year. It's just, I changed coaches in the middle of my prep, and just need the time to, you know, actually work with them and see what you need to do.
Yeah, I feel like it takes time on, you know, for both of you to get to know each other and how things work well. It sounds like overall the biggest change was that she implemented upper body. Would you say there was anything, like, glaring in terms of, like, your nutrition or your cardio that changed as well?
Oh, yeah. I went from doing, like, strict meal plans to a macro-based plan. So I'm okay on macros now, where, you know, of course, it just changed out things that I want to eat. And I'm not as restricted to just eating just chicken and rice and asparagus. I have variety. It wasn't hard to, like, transition to that, but the only thing that may have been a little bit tricky is just the consistency aspect at first, you know, because when you're, like, me, I'm like, oh, wow, I got macros now. I can do this. I can do that. And then I'm like, hold, okay, all right, let me pull this back. I'm trying to give myself a little bit of freedom. Let me actually develop a meal plan off of my macros, which was just a, it took me maybe about 2 or 3 weeks to kind of, like, changed my mindset from doing the strict meal plan to going into macros and having a little bit more freedom. Because being a human being, sometimes when you have some freedom, you try to take advantage. So I tried to, like, putting in, like, these delicious nut butters into my plan. And then you sit at the end of the day, and you're like, oh, crap, I have no more fat. Oh, no. What do I eat for protein that has no fat? Oh, man, I'm just stuck with freaking egg whites all day. So that was, like, a little bit of a learning curve at first. But that's something different from previously to now. But I'm excited to, like, implement the whole macros-based plan just because I'm not going to be restricted to just eating chicken or rice. At a point, you know, my body stopped digesting chicken very well if I've been on it for a very long time. So I like being able to, like, you know, switch things out as I need to.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. Chris, did you have any questions pertaining to those two different preps or?
Yeah. Was there big differences in your cardio as well, Jazzy?
Yeah, so I was doing more of a higher intensity cardio with my previous coach versus more on a lower intensity. So previously I was, you know, it's just timing is the same. Like, say I was doing an hour and a half before, an hour and a half now. Mm-hmm. However, I was trying to reach a goal of a heart rate of 155 with my previous coach for an hour and a half, like straight, versus now it's just 130 heart rate at an hour and a half. So it clearly, I was like hitting more of a higher intensity heart rate previously for a straight hour and a half, and now it's more of lower intensity cardio.
So how long do you have your cardio that high? Are you now that you're kind of in a reverse situation, do you try to, you know, taper that down, or do you kind of maintain cardio throughout the year?
Yeah, so we're tapering down. When I was peak week of Olympia was the highest my cardio was. It was at 100 minutes. But prior to that, I was at like 40 to 50 minutes for the weeks leading into the Olympia. But Olympia week, 100 minutes. And then now we just, for the week and a half, or 2 weeks that we've been post-Olympia, it's been down to 60 minutes, and we plan on just continuously tapering it down because she wants to reduce, you know, my conditioning in terms of, like, my heart condition, because I have really, really good conditioning in terms of, like, my heart. Like, being in the military and doing a lot of conditioning work, I get on cardio and won't even break a sweat at 130. So that's why I feel like my previous coach had me at a higher heart rate goal, because I wouldn't even break a sweat or feel like I was doing cardio until my heart rate was at 155 or 160. And that's just me. And we realized that because I was so conditioned on a cardiovascular level that we had to push cardio. I can't just be somebody that just walks on an incline and I burn body fat. I know I have to do a higher intensity cardio for my body to feel like it's doing something. So what she's trying to do is, like, completely reduce cardio to a point where I think I'm doing, like, zero, and then be able to, once we get into prep, have it be, quote-unquote, easier for me to burn body fat at a lower steady state cardio versus having to push cardio so hard.
Yeah. So do you track steps at all, or did your previous coach or your current coach both do that?
Current coach does. Yeah. Okay. Currently I track steps, a minimum of 10K steps outside of cardio.
Okay. And will that change, like, based on being in prep versus, like, reverse and improvement season?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. Chris, did you have any other questions regarding her new training styles or?
No. I do have a question about posing, if we can transition to that.
Yes, she's the master of posing. I have lots of questions surrounding that.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Okay, so Jazzy, I was wondering, maybe this is a silly question, but have you always been good at posing? Have you used a posing coach? Like, what's your background in, like, being so beautiful and captivating on stage?
So I have a background in dance. I danced growing up. So it was I was able to create my own routine due to the fact that I just love the flowing aspect of my routine. I just incorporated a lot of the technique things from dance into posing. But when I first started, I was not the best at posing. Like, I look at some of my old videos from 2017, I'm like, girl, honey, what is going on? And people were like, you look so good. I was like, no, I didn't. Like, y'all wild for telling me I look good. Like, I looked wild. But, you know, I did the best that I could. Over the years, I had a couple of lessons here and there from my girl, Sean, just for, like, a second eye as I was getting closer to shows. But for the most part, I created my routine. I just watched and studied the division closely, like, the trends of who they pick at the Olympia, who they pick at, like, national shows and things like that, the styles, the flow, like, did they like a lot more extraness, or do they like more of a compact, more streamlined routine? And so I've been able to just, like, really understand, okay, what is most important? Okay, poses, the technique, confidence, flow. So me as a posing coach, I've been able to take posing and develop it into like a process so that, you know, I treat it as I would creating a dance piece. So when we create a dance piece in dance, we go over the steps, you know, the choreography. Then we go over the technique. Now we have these steps in choreography. We have to hit the technique correctly. You're not just going to hit an arabesque and just hit it like whatever. You want to hit that arabesque in the routine flawlessly, toes pointed, hand extended, different things like that that I carry into my own poses. So I have a 5-step like process. It goes poses, number one, are what you need to learn. Obviously, that's the most important. 2, your steps and choreography. 3, it's the technique. 4, flow. 5, expressions and presentation. Mm. So you need to have your poses, your choreography, and your technique solidified before you can even move into flow and expression. I get a lot of girls who are like, oh, I want to be sassy and I want the hair flips. I'm like, okay, but is your transition stable enough for you to hit that hair flip? Because if your transition isn't stable, you're not going to be able to hit that hair flip flawlessly. So leave the hair flip, aka the expression slash presentation piece, for last. Because once you have your poses on point, your transitions and technique and your steps on point, we can move into the flow and the expressions and throw that in. But that's how I've seen posing over the last few years. I've been able to just break it down. When you break it down like that, you're able to get into or become how like I look, because that's what I've done all this time. Also, practice. I practice like every day on prep, 25 minutes to an hour. In the off season, I still practice at least 6 days a week for about 20 minutes, like daily. Because are you out there stopping your training and your dieting when you're in your off season? Absolutely not. If you stop training and then you go and you train again, you're going to be super duper sore. You're going to feel sore. You're going to be fatigued. I treat the same thing with wearing heels. You're not wearing heels every single day. Your ankles need that maneuvering. You need to be training your ankle muscles, your feet muscles all the time in your heels. So we shouldn't just neglect posing in the off season. We should still do it daily for at least 20 to 30 minutes, so that your feet don't start cramping up. Because I went like maybe a week before without posing, and I'm telling you, I put my feet back in those heels, my arches are screaming, my ankles are hurting, I'm cramping up a little bit in my calves. And that's just because when you go and you do a lot of these transitions, your feet and your ankles are moving in a way in your heels that if you don't do it consistently, it's just like if you go and you stop training glutes for a week and you go and train them, they get super sore compared to you do your glute training 2 times a week consistently. You're not as sore as you were the first day you did it. How I treat posing is like I need my ankles and my everything to be, you know, situated and consistent and on point, and that's just practicing consistently throughout the offseason as well.
That's so interesting. I love how you have such a system like that. It's very telling as to with your background and that system that you are so successful. So you train or you pose a lot of the Olympians too, right? I know that DeRaja, her posing routine looked awesome. I know you've worked with her in the past. Who are some of the Olympians that you've worked with?
Yes, it's such an honor. I love what's great is people like DeRaja, and I have had a couple others like Devin, a wellness pro that I've been able to work with from the point that they were amateur and watch them grow into Olympians. And it's just so beautiful being able to see that process occur, because those two, I swear I have a couple others, but those two are the ones that are sticking out. It's just how receptive they are to, you know, the information, and they grasp it and they understand the process and they take it to heart. And that's why people, they've been able to go from where they started to where they are now. Now DeRaja is like a killer as posing coach now too. And it just, it makes me so happy to know that I was able to pour into them and give them the tools and the, you know, insights that they need so that they can branch off and, you know, spread the good word of how posing should be and how you should look at it and how it should be executed. So it's amazing. And what's even better is being able to work with, like, pros or Olympians who are already pros and Olympians, and then they reach out to me just to get a little fine-tuning. And I'm always so honored. I'm like, oh, you really want me to, like, give you some insight? I would love to, especially you see some people that you're like, man, they will look phenomenal if they just did this or if they just implemented this. And so it does take a lot of humility when you are at that level to reach out to, like, a peer for help. So I always am always so honored when somebody does. Like, recently I had Sunny Andrews, Olympian, I was able to, like, help her smoothen out some of her transitions for the Olympia. And it was so cool being able to work with her the day before she had to step on stage and just give her a cleaner transition. And, you know, she was so happy. And that's what makes me just, like, beam with joy is when somebody is so happy that they were able to get that little aha moment in the transition just because maybe they weren't as fluid in it. And I'm like, here, just do this. And they're like, oh, my God. And that just makes me super excited because, you know, when you feel good in your routine, you just exude the confidence out. So this is dope. I love it.
Yeah, I was watching your IGTV, and I think actually Chris Nicole shared this with me. You talked about the plate that you stand on, and then it was such a good visual, like that the cake topper, the glass,
yes,
cover over it. And I always see, so some of my pet peeves in posing are like the Mr. Miyagi arms and like the bat wings and like just some quirks that it's just so extra with the arms. And I always share that with them. It was so helpful because that's such a visual. If you chink, you hit the glass, you know, your arms went too far away from your body. Are there any other like pet peeves or tips that you have that are similar to that? Because I think that's so helpful.
Yes. So I like to say, if you have your box, your little 18 by 18 inch square box on the floor, that is your box and everything around it is lava. You don't want to step out of your box. This is going to help you keep your steps more compressed into its space, and you don't want to be dancing all over the stage. You want to stay in your box, which is going to help you stay more stable, more balanced, because the smaller steps that you take in your routine, the more you're going to stay centered and you won't wobble all over the place. And you just want to stay in the box. That's one where the best lighting is on stage and where the judges can see you the best when you're performing your routine. A lot of girls are a little shaky in their steps or all over the place because they're taking huge steps and transitions, and then they travel out of the box. At the end of their routine, they're on the right side of the box. And it's like, how did you end up there? Well, because the steps you took throughout were very big, and they're going to expose a lot of, you know, flaws, like unstableness. You know, you might trip up a little bit. So I like to say, when you're doing your routine, just think of, you know, the floor around the box is lava, and you want to try to keep your steps within your box, which is going to help people make their steps a little bit smaller, because you can't take a big step out of the box just when you fell into the lava. So keep that step small that you went and did your transition from the front to the back. That first step you take, don't let that first step you take be huge. Just bring that foot in. Keep that foot close and preceding steps as well. So that's like another visual that I give girls for just, you know, keeping your steps minimal and small so that you stay within your box along with the gloss one. I really like the gloss one because that helps with just being distracting or excessive with like arm movements. We're not here to flash our arms and our hair and everything all over the place. We're trying to keep the eyes on our physique. So we need to let our arms and everything accentuate that versus be distracted.
Yeah. Did you have any other questions? Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you. Actually, that's one of my pet peeves is people taking giant steps on stage. So I really appreciate your verbalization of that, Jazzy. And yeah, I actually have a client that has a like floor tile that's about that size. And so when she sends her check-in pictures or she practices, she has to like stay on that tile. So I love that idea of a box that you're talking about, because I do. It keeps everything compact. It keeps like their symmetry correct. So I just think you're a master of your craft, and I love the content you put out. Yeah, and I do have one question. So if you are, you know, someone's looking to implement regular practice for posing into their routine, is there a time that you find it best? Like, I know some people do it after their lifting sessions, some people do it before. Is there a time of day that you find that's pretty good for you to stay consistent?
Yeah, first thing in the morning, like before my cardio, before my training. Like, I usually, like, previously because of, like, work and school, I would always do my posing, my cardio, and my training fasted, just that I would wake up super early. But I like to do posing first because it's very easy to gap off your posing after you did your training and your cardio. You're tired, and you're like, oh, man, you know, it's easy for you to be like, deuces, I'm out of the gym. I've been here for a minute already. I want to be done. But for me, as soon as I walk into the gym, I go to the yoga room, whatever, and go, and I do my posing for about 45 minutes there. And then after I'm done with my posing, I'll go and I'll train, and then I'll go do cardio. Because you're not going to skip out on your training and cardio. You're definitely going to do your training and cardio. But you want to do your posing prior to that so that you don't treat your posing like, you know, how people treat stretching. You know, you're like, I'm going to stretch today, but you go and you do everything else first, and then it's like, oh, you know what, I'll stretch later, and then later comes and you don't do it. People do the same thing with their posing. They're like, I'm going to do my cardio training now and do posing afterwards, and then they're tired and their legs are too shaky from their workout, and you throw on your heels, and you could go ahead and start practicing, but I feel like your posing isn't as effective, or it's not. You're not paying attention to the details as much because your mind is tired. You just freaking lifted for an hour and a half and did maybe 45 minutes of cardio, and now you're trying to pose and your mind is out of it. You're just ready to eat. You're ready to just go home, you know? So that's why I always tell my clients, try to, you know, I don't expect people to do 45 minutes to an hour of posing. There's a reason why my posing looks the way it is, and I'm an Olympian for a reason. So I'm doing these top tier things that are necessary in order to be at that level. If you know yourself, you're like, I'm at this level and this is the level I'm at, and I'm just trying to reach maybe the next level, and you can only do like 10 to 20 minutes of posing a day, do that 10 to 20 minutes prior to your workout, prior to your cardio, so you can get the most out of it, where your attention to the detail is a lot better than afterwards, where you might have a little bit of brain fog, you might be a little bit tired.
Yeah, that's how I eat my meals. Least favorite to the favorite. And that's so good. I love that. Gets it done first thing in the morning, so there's nothing that gets in the way of an excuse. You sounded like you're about to say something. Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to cut you off. We can't see each other.
No, I was just, Yeah, I was just gonna say that I think that that's great advice, and that has actually, I actually feel better that you said that, Jazzy, because I would do the same thing. I would leave posing till the end, and I just cared about eating. So I started putting it in the beginning, like the first thing I did in the gym, and I felt like you said, like I was able to concentrate much better. So, yeah, that's super encouraging that you gave that advice. And I had one more posing question that popped in my head. So, do you find that you need to tweak your routine or your poses, anything like that last minute, or do you feel like you pretty much like because you work on it so much that you're pretty, confident in the routine going on stage? Like, is there any last minute changes you find you need to do like the day before?
I personally don't have any, not too many last minute things. The only thing that I changed actually this year was from 1 week to the next, I did change my side just because I was curious to see how my other side looked on stage and if it would get awarded. And I won my first pro show with my opposite side, which is crazy. So that was something that I did last minute, more of a curiosity thing. However, I practice like everything and anything when it comes to posing. I practice both sides. I practice every kind of transition that I feel possible from my right side and from my left side to the back, and vice versa. From the back to the front, I know how to transition to either side. So I keep up with that stuff just in case there's something like that, like a last minute adjustment that needs to be made like that. But I never make huge adjustments. If anything, the only adjustments that are made, like maybe last minute, maybe like an angle change, maybe turn my shoulder a little bit more, or my glutes or something like that, my feet and my back pose, depending on like my conditioning. So like in the back pose, there's different things you can do with like your feet angle, with your the slight bend in the knee, the softening of the knee, or the push back in your hips to help with like that you're not as tight or not as conditioned and you need like things to pop a little bit more. You can push your knees out or things like that that you can implement to help pop your glutes if they're not popping as much, may lack a little bit of pop. But those are maybe the only adjustments I make to, tailor to that weekend depending on like how much the glutes look. But the thing is, I'm practicing all those like little adjustments weeks and weeks in advance so that my body is used to getting into that position. Like you can't go and do your toes turned out your entire prep and never have practiced feet straight forward, in your back pose and think that you're going to get it that next day. You just decide to change it. I practice different feet angles so that I can know how to go from my front pose, I transition to the back. How do I need to transition to the back in order to put my feet in a certain position? I practice those different scenarios just so I have a little bit of body awareness. Like, what do I need to do in order to set myself into that? Because I'm somebody who I hate making micro adjustments in my routine. You can make micro adjustments when you're in the call-outs and comparisons because everybody's moving about. But when all eyes are on you, you want to be as, like, precise as possible. Like you want to land into your positions as smoothly and as on point as possible without making adjustments because the eyes are all on you. So that's why I practice everything. So if anything happens where I like get to a show and I have to make an adjustment, I'll be able to make it a little bit more confidently because I've already done it before. But to answer the question of do I really need to make, no, because I'm looking at my body every single day and practicing the little things and looking at the different angles that I'm keeping up with the changes in my physique plus the changes in my posing that need to be made.
I love that. I think that's really, really good advice, and it just shows the importance of the practice that you put into it. Do you have any advice for people that may be super nervous getting on stage?
Getting up at A, just one, get yourself a posing coach who can get you up to speed quicker, than I did. Like maybe it would have helped me in the beginning with certain things if I would have reached out to somebody here for like the these are the do's and these are the don'ts on stage in terms of like the poses that you need to hit and the way you need to hit them and the way you need to transition, like knowing things such as each step you take in your routine has specific angles that need to be displayed properly still. You can't just gap off the steps in between poses because they're still seeing you. You have to. So that's what I would tell somebody is reach out to opposing coach, reach out to opposing coach who's up to speed, who maybe is still actively engaged in the industry. And that means, it doesn't mean that they have to be on stage all the time or competing, but that you know that that posing coach is going to shows, watching shows, keeping up to date with the criteria. Because I don't know if you guys know, recently they didn't change the criteria, but they changed what kind of posing they want to see in bikini. They don't want to see an X frame, like deliberately. We used to say with bikini X frame, we used to associate X frame with bikini. They don't want to associate the X frame with bikini anymore. They want an S shape, an S curve, especially in the front pose. So before, girls used to flare their lats a lot in bikini and used to turn straight forward with their shoulders. Recently, I was told, not only last year was I told not to flare anymore, but recently when I went to Pittsburgh and did my Road to the Arnold a few weeks before the Arnold, Tyler Mannion adjusted my front pose and was like, don't turn your shoulders as much. You wanted to see this nice S curve on the side. I'm like, what? And it wasn't just me, it was other Olympians that had that same adjustment made. And he specifically said, we don't want to see an X frame anymore from the front of the bikini. We just want to see a nicely relaxed S curve. So those are things that, you know, if you're going to reach out to a posing coach, that you need to make sure that this posing coach is up to date with what's going on in the industry, is watching the shows and seeing the changes that are happening. I think that's the biggest piece of advice that I could give somebody who may be nervous about the posing or nervous about getting on stage. In order to calm your nerves and make you confident, get with somebody that knows what's going on and can pour into you the knowledge that you need to feel secure. Because, you know, the only thing that makes somebody nervous or scared is the lack of knowledge and insight. So if you get insight and knowledge on something that you're scared about, you'll be confident going in once you know what to do.
That's so great. So before we wrap things up, can you just kind of share with our audience what your favorite part about living the prep life is, and then maybe something that's the most challenging for you?
Well, my favorite part about being on prep is the structure and the routine, because like most people, we thrive off of structure and routine. And I just love how with prep, you have to get everything done because it's going to directly result in what you bring on stage. So I just love the rigorous, just I have to get my cardio, my posing, my training, my other set of cardio done. And that's my favorite part of prep, is just the routine and structure that it gives my life. It just pours into so many other areas of my life. Like when I got into prep is when, you know, my businesses start booming and where my businesses start really growing, because I'm so structured to a T and I stick to my schedule and I try to pour a lot more into, you know, everything else that I do. The most challenging part for me, I would say, is, you know, once I get closer to shows, is like being around family or, you know, things like that, because while I personally have a very, very supportive family, it's hard to maintain that cheerful positivity. You know, you start getting irritated and you start feeling, you know, you're in prep, you're tired, and things start happening, or, you know, you start, you know, crying out of nowhere. You're like, why are there tears coming down my face? I'm just trying to drive to the gym. You know, things that you feel like you aren't able to explain in depth, or I just feel bad because I'm such a positive person. I want to always maintain that. But sometimes, you know, your hormones and your tiredness and your fatigue can take over. And it's hard to explain to people, like, don't bother me right now. I'm tired of your crap. Like, let me live right now. You know, so I think that part is where it gets challenging, is trying to explain, like, hey, you know, right now. I don't need your crap. I don't need you to, I need to get into selfish mode and just zone in because it's the last few weeks and I don't need this extra stuff. I think that's where it gets challenging for me because it's so hard for me to ask people to leave me alone. Like, I need my space.
Yeah. So, all right, what's the
real talk?
I love it. And then just to close, if there were any questions or any words that maybe I didn't ask you a question or Kristen didn't ask you that you would like to share with our audience, or just, you know, biggest lessons that you've learned in bodybuilding, whatever, just to close things out here.
Yeah, so honestly, because of coming out of the situation that I did this year with my previous coach, just look for a coach who's definitely going to have your best interest at heart. Do not date your coach. Hint, hint, do not date your coach. This is big because there's too many girls out there that have these notions that their coach is giving them this special attention and things like that. You're not the only one, and I want you ladies to understand that your coach should not ask you for nudes or pictures outside of your, you know, posing suit. They shouldn't be flirting with you. Ensure that your coach is always professional and always, you know, treating this as a business. Your client, their coach, they should be, you know, they're at your service. You're paying them for a service. You should not be freaked on. So those are huge red flags, and please watch out for them and make sure you choose wisely. Interview your coaches. Talk to people who were on the team, who are on the team, or maybe even left the team, and ask those questions so you're making a wise decision. Because there are coaches out there that are freaking and doing certain things that are not acceptable, and they're charging prices that these wonderful, amazing coaches out there that are also charging the same. So don't get duped and start paying for a coach who flips the script and start, you know, ignoring you or showing favoritism or different things like that on the team. So that's probably a big piece of advice that I've been trying to at least get out there in the best way that I can without, you know, dogging anybody, because I'm not here to dog anybody. I'm just here to spread good light and information so people can also live a good life.
Absolutely. Wow. That's kind of mind-blowing that that's going on. So, Chris, did you have anything before we head out here?
No, I just wanted to thank you, Jazzy, for being real and giving all this information. I definitely learned a lot. And I just admire you both as a athlete and as a posing coach. So thanks for spending your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Of course. We are so thrilled to have you. So if our audience, which I'm sure they will want to reach out for posing or coaching or any of your services that you provide, what is the best way to contact you? Or even if they can just say thank you for being on the episode today. I think it was super valuable.
You can hit me up on Instagram at jazzyfresh.isbbpro. You just want to say hi, go ahead. I do answer DMs. And if you do want to work with me, jazzyfreshpro.com is my website. You can also just post the link in my bio on Instagram and it'll take you there.
Sure. I'll have all of that in the show notes. So we'll get you all set up there. And if you want to find us on Instagram, we are at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.